If you remember last week's sermon, it was just called Rights. So actually today's sermon is called Rights Continued. We're actually in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, where Paul is going to continue teaching about personal rights. And he offers more on the subject of willingly surrendering his rights, and then also adapting his lifestyle to connect with, here's the key, diverse groups of people. And then he's going to transition, comparing the Christian life to an athletic race. All this is going to happen in just a few verses. He emphasizes the need for strict spiritual discipline and self-control. So, sit back, give up your rights, and put on your running shoes as we finish 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul starts off in verse 19 with his strategy for sharing the gospel. So let's see if we can learn something from him that we can use today and in the days to come. So let's go ahead and get into our verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and starting with verse 19, and I'm going to read through verse 23 to start with. Even though, Paul writes, even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who followed the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find, here's the key, yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. And I do everything to spread the good news and share its blessings. Back in my days of teaching a variety of subjects in the insurance companies, workshops on improving communication skills were always on the top of the list. Paul's communication technique of finding common ground with people is one I actually would teach to our insurance employees often. In fact, what he is doing is what we called, and what in the communication world is called, mirroring. Mirroring. Here's the technical definition of that. Mirroring is the subconscious or deliberate act of matching a person's body language, vocal tone, or exact words. By tapping into the brain's natural empathy triggers, this psychological technique builds instant trust, reduces conflict, and creates a safe and comfortable environment. Why? For deeper conversation. Now, in his letter, Paul said, I'll just review it real quickly. He said when he was with the Jews, he lived like a Jew. When he was with those who followed the Jewish law, he lived under the Jewish law. When he was with the Gentiles who didn't follow the Jewish law, he lived apart from the law. And then finally, when he was with those who were weak, he shared in their weakness. This helped Paul find common ground quickly. He created a safe space for communication. I think of it almost as being a communication chameleon. You know, as a chameleon changes colors to adapt to its environment, it's the same animal. It's still the same animal. And when we mirror the person that we're trying to connect to, we're the same person. It's not like we're trying to be someone else or something else. It's not like we're trying to fool someone or put on a face. So I would encourage you and myself to continue to use this technique, not only in when sharing the gospel, but to try it at home, try it at work, try it at school, try it wherever you are. And that'll help you connect quickly and confidently with people. Now then, back to Paul, one of his main things here in this part of his letter is his way of sharing the gospel with diverse groups of people. he gives several important principles for this ministry. And so I'm going to see if we can apply some of these to share the gospel today. There's five of them. Maybe you can't remember all five, but maybe you'll be able to remember one that really sticks out to you. Maybe you'll find of these five, there's things you're already doing all the time. So the first one is something we've already talked about. Find common ground with those you contact. We can always find something we have in common with someone. I mean, to start with, we're both breathing if you're talking to someone, right? There's a starting ground. It's the foundation for building a relationship, whether this is a one-time meeting or the start of a long-term relationship, friendship. Back in the day when Jan and I would go to the mall, how many people remember actually going to the mall and spending a couple, 2-3 hours of just walking around? In fact, that's what I would do to start with. When Jan and I first started doing mall shopping, I would follow her around, in and out of the clothes, in and out of the shoes, and I'd stand there and wait to see what she was going to do. Then she'd turn around, so I'd follow her there. Finally, we got to the point where I said, you know what, I'm going to sit out here on the bench, and you go all over the mall, and I'll be right here when you get back. It never failed. As soon as she'd get back to the bench, she'd say to me, so how many people did you talk to today? Because it would be a lot. I would sit there, and invariably, new people would come and sit for a few minutes. And you know what? We always found something in common. Many times, the first thing we found that we had in common was our wives were shopping. And we didn't want to walk around. So find something in common. Second thing is, this will help in sharing the gospel, and it helps in a lot of other things too. Avoid a know-it-all attitude. Avoid a know-it-all attitude. Who was more knowledgeable than Jesus? And I think we know the answer is no one. And yet he didn't go around bragging about how he created the sun and the moon and the movie stars. You know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Instead of rolling out your vast knowledge of information, try asking questions to draw out the knowledge of the person you're trying to communicate with. And that will even help further find common ground. A third technique in finding ways to minister to others and share the gospel. Make people feel accepted. That's what Paul did. He said, no matter who I'm with, I'm making them feel accepted. Open the curtain to communication rather than building a wall. And again, Jesus is our best example. He made the healthy and the sick feel accepted. He made the rich and the poor feel accepted. Jesus was a Jew, and yet he made the Jews and the Gentiles always feel accepted. A fourth thing we can do is be sensitive to people's needs and concerns. As they're talking to you, again, you're trying to find some common ground, trying to make them feel accepted. Listen to their concerns. You know, in general, people love to talk about themselves. And that makes what I do, the ministry at Ben's Bar on Tuesdays, really easy because I like to listen to people talk about themselves. I genuinely do. And it won't take long to uncover their concerns or their needs or their fears, their joys, their worries, their hopes. And the thing when you're trying to find out people's needs and concerns, we must respond with open ears and a closed mouth. So many times when someone starts to share their story, what do we want to do? We're waiting for them to take a breath so we can then tell our story. The key here is trying to make this connection. It's just listen. Just listen to them. There'll be another time for you to be able to talk and share. And here's the fifth thing, and really this is what we're getting to and what Paul was getting to in his letter. Look for opportunities to tell the people you're connecting to about Christ. Look for opportunities. Sharing our faith should not be something we force on people. it should come naturally, just like any other part of our conversation could. If you try to beat it into them, they probably are going to reject it. So just find natural ways to open up and just talk about how Jesus has affected you. And then it's people's opportunity whether to want to delve into that a little bit more. Jesus never forced himself on others. And if anybody could have or should have, it would have been him. He just found these natural ways to connect with people. Here's an example. You've heard this story maybe. He was thirsty and he went to a well and asked the lady there to give him a drink of water. That started a whole conversation that actually changed the lives, the eternal lives of an entire village. Here's something else he did. He would sit around the table with a wide range of folks and eat tacos or whatever they had back in those days. He would hook up with people, no pun intended, on fishing trips and talk about different things. And speaking of talking, there was a lot of walking and talking that Jesus did. And then he didn't mind if he got off course from his GPS route. And that's something we need to keep in mind too. Just because we have a plan of what we're going to do today, what we're going to do this week, God may provide opportunities to connect people to the gospel by putting us in places we didn't expect to be. Like when I met Willie and Lillian all these years ago, never expected it, and yet God made something great come out of that. Well, those principles that I just shared, they're as valid for us today as they were to Paul back then. So I hope you can think about those and work those into your life. Now, Paul's letter changes directions all of a sudden. He now goes from finding common ground to be able to share the gospel to now hitting the ground, running with his Nike shoes as he teaches us using the analogy of the Indianapolis Mini Marathon. Catch this, starting with verse 24 and finishing our verses for today. He writes, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So Paul says, I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. And here's the last thing he says. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." And we'll find out what that means in a second. Winning a race requires purpose and discipline. And Paul uses this illustration to explain that the Christian life takes, and I'm sorry to have to say this to everyone, it takes hard work. It takes self-denial. It takes persistent preparation. As Christians, we don't have to spend all day on a treadmill. Hallelujah! I like that. Our race is different. We are running toward a heavenly reward. Our race includes essentials like prayer, Bible study, worship, like we're doing here today, along with other spiritual disciplines. And these essentials equip us to run with vigor and stamina. Now, don't merely observe as a Christian from the grandstands. Don't just try to jog a couple laps around the block each morning. We have to train diligently, and our spiritual progress depends on it. That last part, let me read that again from verse 27. He says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. And here's the thing. He says, otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. When he says that, he does not mean that he could lose his salvation. He means that he could lose his privilege of telling others about Christ. Have you ever taken away the privilege of someone telling you about Christ because of their actions? I bet many of us have run into people. Or you've maybe been a follower of a pastor that you watch, a teacher that you watch on TV, and all of a sudden something happened. And it's like, it sort of made you not want to follow them anymore. Now, none of us are perfect, including your pastor. But if we make a mistake, we should admit it and kind of move on. But sometimes people, they're not doing the right thing and they expect others to continue to doing what they say. You know, the old saying is we must be careful to practice what we preach. Otherwise, what we say to others, sharing the gospel and whatever, will go in one ear and out the other. Paul says that he has the freedom to do anything, which we covered a lot in last week's message. He emphasizes a life of strict discipline. The Christian life involves both freedom and discipline. Seems like they would be counter to each other, but they go together. The goal of Paul's life was to glorify God and bring people to Christ. Thus, he stayed free of any philosophical position or material entanglement that might sidetrack him, while he strictly disciplined himself to carry out his goal. For Paul, both freedom and discipline were important tools used in God's service. All of us make dozens of choices every day, and most choices have no clear right or wrong attached to them, like choices about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. But we also face decisions every day that carry more weight. We don't want to do something that's wrong, and we don't want to do something that would cause someone else to do something that's wrong. And how can we make better decisions? Well, we can start by asking ourselves questions before we act. And so I've got several questions here. I'm just going to read them and just pause for a second. Maybe one of these questions will really hit with you. Maybe you'll be able to remember more than one. Maybe you're already asking yourself these questions. Here's the first one. Are my actions helping my witness for Christ? Am I motivated by a desire to help others know Christ? How about, do my actions help me do my best? Do my actions violate a specific command in Scripture and thus would cause me to sin? Is my action the best and most beneficial course of action? Just a few more. In my actions, am I thinking only of myself, or do I truly care about other people who are involved? Am I acting lovingly or selfishly with my actions? Do my actions glorify God? And finally, will my actions cause someone else to sin? The bottom line of today's teaching is, don't give up sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Perseverance, persistence, and ultimately leads to the prize. The Christian life was never promised to be an easy way to live. Instead, Paul reminds us that we must have a purpose and a plan, because sometimes, and times will, get difficult. Sometimes our life gets difficult, does it not? And Satan will attack. I mean, he attacked Jesus. When Jesus first started his ministry, Satan was on the attack, hard. And so, of course, he's going to attack us. Maybe he's attacking someone that's listening even right now. I'm about to finish up here. Two Sundays ago was our first class for Financial Peace University. And one of the things we learned was the critical importance of budgeting our money. Just like running a race is hard, so is the idea of creating a budget and then running with it. What makes it really hard is when there's more month than the money. In other words, to live within our means, our budget, we have to sometimes cut expenses or make more income or even do both. And that can be very hard and painful. But races aren't won without work and pain, without persistence, without perseverance. There was one phrase in the teaching, it's all video driven for the most part, as far as the teaching is concerned. And one of the things that was mentioned during the budgeting discussion was, it is tough, but temporary. It's tough, but temporary. Once you get to the point where you have more money than month, the toughness starts to leave and things become a little easier. But in the meantime, it will be tough. I mean, who wants to cut eating out from your budget, from your lifestyle? Who wants to give up Netflix? I mean, you got to watch that new series that's on, right? And then how can I live without going to Starbucks every day for that drink? Only spending based on your income will be tough to start with, but through the pain, through the perseverance, through the persistence, debts can be paid off, savings accounts can be built up, and peace, not just financial peace, can be the prize at the end. And don't forget, here's my last thoughts for today, we never persevere without the promise of a prize. And that is a promise that God will keep. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way we can use something that was written all these years ago and still apply it to our life today and make a difference in someone else's life, not only for today, for tomorrow, but for all eternity. And for that, we give you the praise and the thanks. And now, everyone go. Have a happy Father's Day for those, and be blessed and be a blessing. Amen. Amen. Amen.